It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
A Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Xander pops this one up. That should do it. Called off by Alberto and Wright. And that's all today. Kansas City wins the series. They take the finale by a final score of 7-3. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
There you have it. Red Sox wrapping up what I thought was a pretty disappointing weekend series with the Royals. I think most people would agree with that. Dropping 2 out of 3 to a team that entered that series 7 games below 500 in the American League Central. Now the Sox getting ready for what is, to date, the biggest series of the year. A big one, this midweek series coming up with the Tampa Bay Rays. It is a 3-game set, and there will certainly be a lot to dive into when it comes to the Red Sox and the Rays over the course of that series. This is the Baseball Hour. It's Matt McCarthy in for Maz today. Tell you what, line it up early, line it up often. I'll get to you. Take care of you. 617-779-0985. Anything on the Red Sox, anything on baseball for the next hour, you can have at it. Here's where I want to start, and then we'll get to you. The good news is the Red Sox are still in first place. And they are as competitive as any other team in baseball. I mean, this team grinds it out. Despite the fact that they were disappointing over the weekend series, just go back to that Braves series midweek last week. They grind it out. They're a really good take on a nightly basis. They really are. I mean, that's who they are. That's their DNA. They're a competitive baseball team. Here's the bad news. The pitching's going to crap. It is. Just like we all knew it would, just like we felt about the Red Sox entering the season, that their pitching staff really wasn't very good, that's starting to come to fruition. Now, let me make this clear. I think the Red Sox can remain competitive even with the pitching starting to deteriorate. They've played some tough competition this month. I said it at the beginning of the month with Maz when we were on, I think we were on June 1st, we said this was going to be the month that was going to make or break the Red Sox season. Because up until that point, they really hadn't played a lot of good teams. They were beating up on some of the weaker competition in baseball. And I firmly believe that a lot of the American League is pretty weak. I don't think there's really a great team in the American League. The Yankees were supposed to be that team. And if you watched that series 2 weeks ago, you know that the Yankees are not that team. They certainly aren't. So I think the American League on the whole, the American League's been going through, you know, down stretch here in the last couple of years. And I think that's once again happening this year. But you look at the way the Red Sox have played. They're playing the better teams in the league. You get the Braves, who have been a disappointment in the National League, but there's still a lot of talent there. They've been playing better competition this a month, and they're 11-8. There are a few games above 500, despite the fact that they're playing better competition, despite the fact that the pitching staff is starting to trend in the wrong direction. So I think that's a sign that they can compete throughout the year, even with a subpar pitching staff, which I think they have. But make no mistake about it. They are getting exposed in the post-Spider-Tack world. The great thing about the whole Spider-Tack scandal in baseball, A, I actually think it's good for baseball. I think, you know, there's no such thing as bad PR in sports, and baseball could use something like this. It's something to talk about. So that's good. But the good thing about the post-Spider-Tack world, or, you know, the Spider-Tack scandal, is you can draw the line. June 3rd was when the Sports Illustrated story came out. And you can look at pitching staffs, you can look at individual pitchers, and you can look at the way they performed leading up to June 3rd and the way they've performed after June 3rd. The Red Sox have given up 96 runs in 16 games since that Sports Illustrated story came out on June 3rd. And that's good for 6 runs a game. Need to know any more? I know the Blue Jays were in that stretch. I know the Braves were in that stretch. Some good offenses. But the numbers don't lie. 96 runs in 16 games. That's not good. And you gave up 13 runs to the Royals over the weekend. The Royals entering that series 11th in the American League in runs scored. And just to reiterate that point even more, this is a tweet I saw from Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald yesterday. You want to check him out on Twitter, at jmastrodonato, one of the best beat writers in town covering the Sox. The Red Sox team ERA on April 20th was 3.60. That was good for 9th in Major League Baseball. A month later, on May 20th, 3.92, good for 13th in Major League Baseball. On June 20th, 4.29, that's good for 19th in Major League Baseball. The question is, how sustainable is that? They have deteriorated, and you know, that's deterioration before the Sports Illustrated story came out, and it feels like it's only been accelerated since. We knew they weren't good enough at the beginning of the year. We knew they lacked some talent. Now it's starting to show. But what they're showing is they can still win. And that's the most important thing for a team that, listen, we all know is not a legitimate World Series contender, but you're asking them to be in the mix. They're going to be in the mix. They are. And I think they've proven that to you this month. Even with their pitching woes, even with the pitching staff getting worse by the day, they're still finding ways to win these games. How sustainable is it? We can certainly debate that. I say it's sustainable to a certain extent, that they should be right in the mix. Even with this trending in the wrong direction, they should be right in the mix. So the bad news, pitching staff getting worse. The good news, the Red Sox still involved. They're still hanging around. Not a great weekend series, but I still feel like they should be one of those teams on the line. They might be the second wild card team. They might be the team that just misses out. They're right there. And entering this year, I don't think I could have asked for much more from the Red Sox. You've heard from me. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. Rays and Revere, you're leading us off tonight on the Baseball Hour. McCarthy in for Maz. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Nick. Listen, I think this latest cheating incident is the 4th in 6 years for the Red Sox. You know, this one, 2 sign stealing, and they got paid signing international free agents illegally in 15 and got knocked out of participation the following year. I think what it exposes is the fact that the Red Sox just aren't really good at evaluating amateur talent and developing it. You know, when they went in last place, I think it was in 13 or 14, right around there, to now, which is 7 years, they literally haven't produced a major league pitcher for their major league roster. Major league starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And I think this is why they're perennially up against the luxury tax threshold and why at the trading deadline, we're always wondering if the owner's going to step up. Because they're always up against it.
Yeah, Ray, listen, you make some good points, and thanks for the call. You know, it was a little kind of all over there, but I mean, listen, all the points you made, you know, were valid. The Red Sox have struggled developing starting pitching. The Red Sox have had multiple cheating scandals in the last 4, 5, 6 years that crossed different general managers, different managers, different essentially organizations, period. And, you know, that's going to be held against them. And by the way, I don't think the Red Sox are the only team in baseball using spider tack. Like, I'll rip Garrett Richards all I want, you know, for his comments and his performance. You know, since the Sports Illustrated story came out, he's allowed 33 base runners. He's got an ERA close to 7 in his 3 starts since that Sports Illustrated story came out. I'll make fun of Garrett Richards all I want. I'll, you know, rip Garrett Richards all I want for that. And I'll, you know, point out all these Red Sox pitchers when their stats deteriorate in the post-spider tack world. But that doesn't make the Red Sox alone. It certainly doesn't. So let's just keep that in mind. And that's, you know, why, too, even with the pitching staff deteriorating, you have to do take into account that other pitching staffs are probably going to deteriorate, too. And offensive numbers are going to go up around baseball. And perhaps that's what the Red Sox are better built for. I shouldn't say perhaps that's what they're better built for. They are better built for higher scoring games. I think the Braves series in some ways is a model for the Red Sox, and it goes to show you how they can be competitive and how they can be on the verge of the playoffs, one of those teams that's either going to be just in or just out. The Braves series is the perfect example. You beat up on a bad pitching staff. Your pitching staff sucks. Garrett Richards goes out there. He gives up 6 runs, but you know what? You win both of those games 10-8. You're wildly entertaining and you're competitive and you grind it out because that's who the Red Sox are. That's in their DNA. They're not very good, but they're entertaining, They grind it out. They give you a product every night. And I think all of us would have taken that entering this season. When you looked at this roster, when you looked at the year they had last year, when you looked at the state of the franchise, if you just said, hey, McCarthy, the Red Sox are going to be really pretty entertaining. They're going to be a good take every night, and they're going to be on the verge of the playoffs. We'll see what breaks their way. I would have said, hell yeah, I'm in. And you know what? I am in. And this is going to be a good series against the Rays, and it's going to tell you a little something about where the Red Sox are and where the Rays are. A nice little series here late in June, midweek series you can sink your teeth into. I like that. You should too. Tom's in Quincy. What's up, Tom? How you doing?
Hey, Matt. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, I kind of echo your sentiment as far as this week coming up with Tampa. Me and you have talked before about the pitching staff going into this season, and I don't think either one of us are very confident in what they were going to do. I think we were all surprised in the past few months on the kind of performance they've had. I'm not surprised at all that now the crackdown on all this illegal substance stuff has kind of hindered them and their numbers. But the offense is spectacular, and they're going to continue to hit. They've got the lineup, and if you see guys like Kiki Hernandez and Renfro stepping up and getting hot, and that extends that lineup even further, then now we're talking.
Yeah.
And going into Tampa, they look like garbage since Glasnow got hurt. And Sus can hit, and they can't pitch without him. So if you can take a few out of this one, I'm all for that. And I think it's going to show a lot about this team and what they can actually do. And I'm giving Cora a ton of credit with kind of corralling these guys together, trying to, have them all on the same page.
Yeah, Tom, I think Alex Cora is the story of the Boston Red Sox this year, 100%. I think he's the primary reason why they're in this. I think, they've taken on the personality of their manager. They kind of grind it out. They're a competitive club. I think it is absolutely a reflection on Cora. Something you did mention, too, that I think is 100% right, that Glasnow injury is huge. And I don't think we talked about it enough. I mean, I think we talked about it a lot in the context of Glasnow's comments, which were, ridiculous and hilarious and absurd all at the same time, blaming his elbow injury. And by the way, he's had elbow injuries in the past, blaming his elbow injury on the fact that he couldn't cheat and use his spider tack and his super glue and the explosives that these guys are putting on the baseball. And I only half kid about that. If you read the Sports Illustrated article, there are pitchers getting stopped at TSA because they thought all the stuff, the crap they had on their hands, was actually explosives. So we focused on Glasnow and his comments, but we didn't necessarily focus on what it means for the baseball team and what it means for the Red Sox. Glasnow is the ace of that team, no doubt about it. As as the Rays go, Glasnow goes. So with him being hurt, that is a major, major, major blow to the Tampa Bay Rays. If there's one team that probably can figure it out, that's just what they do. That's the Tampa Bay Rays. But make no mistake about it, that is a massive, massive blow to the Rays. The best team, arguably, in the American League East. Again, I don't think the Yankees are all that good. If you watched them play a few weeks ago, you know they're not a very good ball club. They're underachieving. They're not well managed. All of that. What a significant blow, though, to the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you're the Red Sox and you maybe get Chris Sale back, maybe, and I'm starting to get my hopes up there a little bit, seems like all the good news, all the news on Chris Sale has been good. Well, then now you're saying, hold on now, Glasnow's hurt. Maybe you're getting Chris Sale back. Maybe he's just going to help you out of the bullpen. Maybe they can win the division. Again, the Red Sox are going to be right in this, even with the pitching woes, which are legitimate. They're going to be right in this because I can make an argument for the Red Sox. I can make an argument against them the same way that I can make an argument for and against the Rays and just about every other team in that division, too. They're going to be right there, even with the pitching problems, which are real and which are legitimate. 617-779-0985. Today was also the first day in baseball where the crackdown was happening. And the first visual that we got was umpires checking the best pitcher in the game and maybe the best pitcher baseball's seen in the last 20 years. We'll get into that next. McCarthy and Fermaz on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Today is the first day of increased scrutiny for pitchers as far as sticky substances on their person. They have said that they're not going to delay play. They're going to inspect pitchers as they come off the mound between innings or at the end of their stints. So they check DeGrom's hat. They say they want to check his belt. He said, "Do you want me to take it off?" They said no, they check under the belt, and now he has passed inspection.
You know, in some ways it's fitting that the first visual we have of the crackdown on the sticky stuff, the adhesives in baseball, happened in the Mets game today with Jacob DeGrom on the mound. And the reason why I say it's fitting, it's not because Jacob DeGrom has ever been accused of anything. I mean, actually, really, to the contrary. I mean, I think this guy is as clean as it gets. I just think he's the best pitcher we've seen in baseball since Pedro Martinez. He's that good. He's that dominant. By the way, DeGrom with 4 1/3 of a scoreless, hitless baseball right now with 6 strikeouts. So he looks perfectly fine coming off the elbow injury, the elbow tendonitis. He looks fantastic. His ERA is down to 0.50. This guy's freaking awesome. This guy is the man. Oh, I love watching him pitch. He's as good as it gets. But it is fitting because this is the year of the pitcher. This is 1968 all over again. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, and he's the first pitcher to get checked out for sticky stuff. He's the first pitcher to get checked out for spider tack, the adhesives, all that stuff. He passes his inspection. He just goes on, and he just keeps dominating. And it's going to be fascinating to watch and see if any pitchers get caught. It will be amazing if any pitchers get caught because you know the umpires are going to be checking. And what happened here is DeGrom is walking off the mound after, I think, his second inning, and the umpires basically surrounded him. And he was checking the hat, checking the belt, checking the glove. Give these pitchers full cavity searches on the mound. I don't care. We got to get this stuff out of baseball. We got to get more contact in the game. I don't think it applies to Jacob DeGrom because he's just flat out nasty, but it does apply to bums like Garrett Richards who are nasty only because of the spider tack. However, we do have somebody on the program tonight who disagrees that the Red Sox pitching staff, that their deterioration over the last 2-3 weeks has anything to do with spider tack. That's the milkman himself, Tyler Milliken. I don't want to call like the chief nerd, but here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, the man who represents the sabermetricians and all of that in baseball, he knows more about spin rate and VORP and your WXO bacon, which is a legitimate stat. That the nerds love, the WXO bacon. Tyler, you think that has nothing to do. You think the Red Sox pitching staff, this whole spider tack thing is overblown.
Outside of Garrett Richards, yes.
Okay.
I think if you look right now, right, listen, Garrett Richards, first off, McCarthy couldn't agree more. He's a bum. You can't throw a curveball the first time you don't use it. You're not a big league pitcher. Like, what is that? Tyler Glasnow never pushed any of those narratives. He said, listen, I threw every pitch. Just the difference was I felt pain in areas I had never felt before. If you don't trust your curveball enough, you don't have a curveball. That's just the truth to it. Outside of him, though, the RPM, there hasn't been a significant change for any other or any of the other Red Sox starters. Whether you want to look at Eduardo Rodriguez, who's been terrible all season, he continues to be terrible. We've seen with Nate Eovaldi, he's already had one really great start, despite not looking great the other day. Martin Perez put in a great effort over the weekend against the Royals, and Nick Pivetta gave you 5 innings and 3 runs. That's just about what he is. He's not going to be the 6-inning, 1-run guy we saw, you know, really the first 2 months of the season. I just think when you look at the actual RPM data, people are confused. They don't understand how it works. If you see like a, you know, 50 drop or 100 drop, that happens on a nightly basis. That's conditions and sometimes just velocity. A significant change is seen as around 200 to, you know, above in that sense. That's where you saw Garrett Cole take a huge jump. That's where you saw Trevor Bauer take a big jump. And Garrett Richards, both of, you know, the two pitches he threw, which shows he's still not a starter, even from a repertoire standpoint. Yep. they were well above 200 drops. And I don't think it's going to get any better for him.
So what you're saying is that Garrett Richards statistically is the only pitcher on the Red Sox who has seen a significant drop off in the post Spider Tech era. And his stats, his real stats, Tyler, are horrific. After you know, the Spider Tech story came out in Sports Illustrated, 3 starts, he's got an ERA of 7, 14 and a third innings, he's allowed 33 base runners. I mean, he's been horrific since that Sports Illustrated story came out. And by the way, we should note that a person on this very program said before the Sports Illustrated story came out, before any of this came out, after Garrett Richards' first good start of the year, our very own Jimmy Stewart alluded to the fact that there was something going on. You can do your victory laps, too.
No, I'm good. I like it when other people do it for me. It makes me feel better.
Okay, I'll do the victory lap.
Patting myself on the back like Barry Horowitz, just it kind of gets boring.
Tyler, do me a favor. I'm on the other side of the studio. Why don't you go pat Jay Stu on the back for him?
Don't even touch me, Tyler.
Because he deserves it. I was on that night with you, Stu. It was after Garrett Richards' first good start of the year. So, of course, I was here for it, just to get the blah, McCarthy, blah. You think Garrett Richards is a mustache hack bum? Yeah, I do. And he still is. And you said, well, maybe he just learned how to cheat or something along those lines.
Or continuously was cheating because there was substance all over his hat. There was substance different places. And I don't know. I think when you have a vice, you keep going to it.
And that he did. So there you have it.
But I will say this, Matt. Think of the great musicians over time, and this is crossing genres of entertainment.
Are we allowed? Well, it's not Felger Maz anymore. We're not allowed to.
Most of these great artists have. They've been under the influence when they've been successful.
That's sure.
So why are we stopping entertainment?
We don't even have to, you know, break the Felger and Maz commandments and cross sports or cross references and cross, you know, music. You name it. It happened in baseball. Who is the guy who threw the no hitter on LSD? Doc Ellis? Is that Doc Ellis? There you go.
Happily named, self medicated.
Brian's in the truck. What's up, Brian? You're up next. Matt McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
Thanks for having me. And I just want to say that I think this pitching staff is going to be the fatal flaw for this team and why we don't make the playoffs, just because the talent wasn't there. They were clearly cheating. And it just reminds me of one of those Texas Rangers 90s teams that could bash the ball, but they could never pitch. And that's why they didn't make it. And that's what I think this Red Sox team is.
Yeah, Brian, you make an interesting point. And I'll say this, you know, you want to believe, you know, some of the stats that, you know, Tyler Milliken just shared with us. The Red Sox really haven't seen a significant drop off in the RPM, the spin rate. The only person who's seen it has been Garrett Richards, who, by the way, was the most vocal person on the Red Sox staff, without a doubt, about not being allowed to cheat anymore. He had a real problem with Major League Baseball telling him he couldn't cheat anymore. So if you want to believe the fact that maybe the vast majority of Red Sox pitchers weren't, you know, not to say, you know, really reliant on the adhesives, weren't really reliant on Spider Tack and all that, you can make that argument, but then your argument is they just never were all that good. And that's the argument that you're making, Tyler, is this staff never was all that good. And it just happens to coincide with the fact that they're facing tougher competition. Teams are figuring out that Nick Pivetta is not a guy who's going to go 7-0 to start the year. That's not who he is. It is a legitimate point. However, it just happened to coincide with this great scandal in baseball.
I agree. I think the other part of this is it's the extremes. It's the people who, the minute the Red Sox were looking great, go, listen, oh, Chaim Bloom has built this perfect pitching staff that's ready to compete with the best. It was never that. It was that he would build a pitching staff that wouldn't throw you down immediately and ruin your season like 2020. It wouldn't put you to a place where the offense could never come back, where they were trailing 6-0 in the third inning, and you just saw them all kind of slouch down and give up for the rest of the game. No, they're going to be an extremely average rotation, maybe even a little bit below average. But when you have arguably a top 3 offense in the entire game, like you've said, McCarthy, you can get by with that. Yep. But don't overreact right now to the last 2 or 3 weeks either. That's the continuous problem with this team. Every time someone freaks out one way or another, they always come back to the middle. And they're not this bad. They won't be this bad all year. They're going to be average. And that's fine, because that's all this offense needs, especially with how good the bullpen is.
Well, in some ways, that's the way this team was built. This team was built to have, say, the 19th, you know, ERA in Major League Baseball right now. They're perfectly average. They're slightly below average. And you make the bet, you make the guess that the offense is going to be good enough just to carry them. This is who they are. They're going to be on the verge of a playoff team. And you know what? That bet from Chaim Bloom, and I've been highly critical of him, as you know, Tyler, and as most people know, you know this, Jay Stu, as well. I've been highly critical of Chaim Bloom. but this bet is kind of working off to a certain extent that they're going to be on the verge of it. And you have to see, is having the 19th best ERA in baseball, is that going to be good enough? Is your offense good enough to carry you to the playoffs there? We'll see. That's the question that hasn't been answered. But June, maybe that's an indication for you. Pitching staff is going to shambles. You're facing better competition. All of those things we can say negatively about the Red Sox, all of which are true, by the way. They're still 11-8 against better competition. And you know what? If they do that for the rest of the year, they very well might be a playoff team. They're going to be really close. It's going to come down to that, and they're going to give you a baseball season. What more could you want? Paul's in Rhode Island. You're up next with Matt McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm not a baseball guy, but I'm going to tell you right now, off the record.
Okay, well, you're very much on the record, but okay.
Yeah, I am on the record. I'll take the Red Sox and the Padres right now, the way it looks. And there's no high brand players right now going to both teams. But I want to tell you right now,
yeah,
Red Sox and all the Boston sports better get over these players that they hire.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I have no idea where the hell that's going, but I appreciate you
joining.
I
think he said that the Red Sox were about to trade for Fernando Tatis Jr. from the Padres.
Is that what he was saying?
Not even close, but
I just
heard Red Sox Padres trade bland.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, he said the Red
Sox trying to will it into existence.
Hey, listen, I'll will it into existence anytime. He's hurt again, which sucks. That guy is the man. That guy is awesome.
I don't know where you'd play him though, Matt.
I'd put him in a left or something like that.
I mean, we have a shortstop who's pretty good, Xander Bogaerts.
He's damn good. He's the best shortstop in the history of the Boston Red Sox. And I'll go on record saying that tonight. I've said it a few times before. That I'll go on record with.
You're right, Matt. You're right.
Thank you, Jimmy. This is why you're here.
I was a Johnny Valentin guy. Forget no more.
I mean, of course. Who didn't love John Valentin? You grew up when I grew up. You didn't love John. Of course you love John Valentin. Then Nomar came along. Jeff Fry. What an infield. What an infield. All right, 617-779-0985. Speaking of infield, speaking of shortstops, the Rays are calling up their top prospect in advance of this series with the Red Sox. Should the Red Sox be doing the same thing with one of their top prospects? We'll get to that next. McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Whether it's happening on the field or off, Maz is talking about it.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
The Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No Maz tonight. It's Matt McCarthy in for Maz and you. 617-779-0985. Thanks to Jimmy Stewart and Tyler Milliken for all their hard work producing tonight's program. Red Sox off tonight as well. They start up a 3-game set with the Rays tomorrow, which, as we've been talking about, it's a good series. Good little series here for the late June. Something you can really kind of focus on, see where the Red Sox match up with the Rays. Top two teams in the American League East. They should be there, to me, at least in my thought, at the end of the season. And, you know, every game counts. It does. This is probably going to come down to a game or two for the Red Sox. That could be the difference between winning the division, being a wild card team, or not being in the playoffs at all. It's that close. I don't see the Rays separating. I don't see the Red Sox separating. I don't see much of the American League separating, to be totally honest. So every game truly counts, which is something baseball needs a little bit more of and something that you really want in June. You want to be able to sit there tomorrow night, get invested. If the Red Sox win, it's going to feel good. If they don't, it's going to suck. And you're going to like, you know, that could hurt them. That could absolutely hurt them. Baseball needs more of that, and we're going to get that this series. And I think it's telling that the Rays have decided to call up the top prospect in all of baseball in advance of this series. If you're not familiar with him, he's a 20-year-old shortstop by the name of Wander Franco. And think about it. 8 years ago, the Red Sox did something very similar. They called up Xander Bogaerts. A little bit later in the year, they called him up in August. He was the second-ranked prospect in baseball that year, I think only behind Jurickson Profar. Goes to show you that prospect rankings, not always 100% accurate. But the Red Sox were aggressive that year and brought up a 20-year-old shortstop, a 20-year-old kid who rose through the system really quickly. That's exactly what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing, and it tells you that they think the Red Sox are a serious threat in this division, and they need help. They haven't got much production out of their shortstops at all this year. So they're going down on the farm, and they're getting the kid, and they're going to see if he can give them a spark. Because they need it. And the Red Sox are in a bit of a similar situation. They don't have nearly the prospect that the Rays have. Again, Franco is probably the best prospect in all of baseball. The Red Sox don't have that. But they do have a prospect who did crack the top 30 in Baseball America's rankings in the last week or so, in Jarren Duran, who's in Worcester. And right now, Jarren Duran is hitting .286 with an OPS just over 1,000 and 12 home runs and 24 RBIs in Worcester. And the Red Sox have not called him up to this point, and it doesn't seem like they're all that ready to call him up. Meanwhile, Marwin Gonzalez, a .568 OPS. Danny Santana, who's been a complete disaster since he came up. He's batting a .125 with a .478 OPS. That's not even Franchi Cordero level bad. That is a new level of suck from Danny Santana. And Kike Hernandez is playing the outfield for you just about every night. He's got a .691 OPS. We're talking about guys who aren't the answer. Maybe Duran is. I'm not convinced of that. Jarren Duran, I don't think, is a special prospect by any means. But it seems like he's done enough in AAA this year to show you that he's ready for the call. He's ready for the chance, and it's at least worth giving him a shot. The Rays are doing that with their top prospect. The Red Sox right now are unwilling to do that with their number two prospect. Tristan Casas is their number one prospect. And if you ask me, and you ask a lot of people in baseball, there is a significant difference between Tristan Casas and Jarren Duran. Casas is an elite level prospect. Duran is something kind of a next step down. He's probably going to be a big leaguer. Let's not get too excited here, but he's probably going to be a big leaguer. Maybe, you know, big leaguer who finds a way to contribute, maybe an everyday regular, maybe a Brett Gardner type, with a little bit more pop, because he's hitting for all kinds of power in Worcester right now, and he's hit for a lot of power since he changed his swing over the last year, year and a half, 2 years or so. But there's a significant difference between what the Rays are doing and what the Red Sox are doing. I like the aggression from the Rays, and I wonder why the Red Sox aren't willing to do the same thing. I think now's the time for it. What do you think? Ralph's in Cranston. He's got a thought on that. You're up next with Matt McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Matt. No, I disagree with you as far as the talent that Duran has. I think Duran's worked on this, and I think he's a little bit better talent than most people think. Now, I'm sick of reading, too, like we read in the Globe, if you saw it. What are the Red Sox going to do for a number one, a guy leading off? Duran leads off. Mm-hmm. Duran is probably the best base runner in this whole organization.
Yes.
Smart. Every single, goes from first to third. He's got power. And it's not like Boston has a bunch of really good defensive outfield. They don't have one real good defensive outfield. So if they're saying, well, let's give him a little more time down there, that's one thing. But that's not the truth. They're trying to sit this guy out so he loses another year in free agency. If I was his agent, I would call them up and I would say, look, what are you doing? My guy's going to be 25.
Yep.
He's not 19. He's not 20. Now, Cassis, you mentioned Cassis. See, the only position this kid can play is first base.
Right.
So they're going to have he's very slow. He's got a great bat.
Yeah, but he
can doesn't
hit.
Really do much else.
But he can hit, Ralph, and thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Keeping it just to Duran right now, I mean, Casas is an elite hitter. He's drawing comparisons to Joey Votto, Freddie Freeman. He's that type of hitter. With Jarren Duran, one of the excuses has been, well, he can't really field right now. He was a second baseman in college. They drafted him as a senior in college. He just moved to the outfield basically 2 years ago. He's still trying to improve there. He's still trying to learn there. That's what you're hearing from the Red Sox. But to Ralph's point, and it's my point as well, you see the guys they're putting out there in the outfield? I mean, listen, Renfro's pretty good in right. He's got one hell of an arm. But Verdugo's not exactly a great left fielder. Hernandez, he's perfectly fine. He's not exactly Jackie Bradley Jr. or Fred Lynn in center field. You know, Rafael Devers, we heard coming up through the minor leagues that he wasn't ready defensively. They brought him up. He still can't play third base. That's not stopping them. at this point. You got Marwin Gonzalez, Kike Hernandez, Danny Santana. These guys can't hit. Let's see if Jaron Duran can hit. I'm sure the defense isn't great. I'm not too concerned about outfield defense because you know why? The Red Sox aren't too concerned about outfield defense. If the Red Sox really were concerned about outfield defense, Jackie Bradley Jr. would be playing center field here and Mookie Betts would be playing right field. So I don't want to hear that the Red Sox all of a sudden care about outfield defense because they didn't care about outfield defense then. One of the concerns, though, with the Red Sox and Jaron Duran might be his splits. Tyler, you and I were talking about this before the program. His splits in Worcester are a little bit concerning, right?
Yeah, there's really, you kind of look at him, it's hard not to be concerned. You look at home, he's slashing 320, 400, 720 with a 1120 OPS. You look at the road, he's batting 235.
Yep.
The OBP is still good, 350, 490, 840. But still, that kind of just gap is scary, especially when you see all the reports coming out. Listen, Worcester, it's balls fly there. Frangie Cordero, I've been a Frangie Cordero guy, we know. Uh-huh. The fact that he's hitting 400 down there and smashing bombs that are flying so far out the stadium that they're getting posted everywhere, it tells you Marcus Wilson's having a great year, another really quadruple A kind of player. I don't blame people for being nervous. And then you look at Duran, six of his 12 home runs have come against Syracuse. They're labeled as maybe the worst triple A pitching staff of all time.
I've heard that. By the way, that's you're not the first person to say that. Apparently, the Syracuse Mets are a complete and total disaster. And apparently, Polar Park, and I actually have not been there yet, which is kind of amazing. Apparently, you know, not to say it's like the Coors Field of the minor leagues, because it's not, but it's a launching pad. It's a complete and total launching pad. Apparently, the gust comes in. I guess it's a little open behind home plate, and I haven't been there yet. But I guess the gust just come through, and it just carries the ball way out to, you know, center field, right field. It just carries the ball out. And plus, it's Worcester. It's the Worcester Hills. It's elevation out there. That's just science. Might as well be the Rockies for all I care. Anything west of 495 might as well be the Rockies. So Jaron Duran is hitting at high altitude out there in Worcester. So do keep that in mind. 617-779-0985. Got room for you on the phone lines. Is Matt McCarthy in for Tony Maserati on the Baseball Hour tonight. We'll wrap it next.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
From breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think obviously it worked out for both of us, for JD financially and finding a home and becoming the player he is in Boston. And obviously for our organization, this guy, he's not only a great hitter. He helps everybody out. He's a great teammate. He's relentless with his craft.
Alex Cora on JD Martinez, who hit his 100th home run in a Red Sox uniform over the weekend. That was your Mass General Hospital sound clip of the day. At Mass General, your health and safety are their highest concerns. Please don't delay your preventative screenings and follow-up care. For information on in-person and virtual care, visit massgeneral.org. And I think it's, you know, important to bring up JD Martinez. When he signed with the Red Sox shortly before the 2018 season, we know the impact he had on the team that year. But he had the opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4 in his contract. And it's going to be interesting to see if he exercises the final opt-out at the end of this year because he's turned it around. After, I think, in many ways, quitting on the Red Sox last year, and now he's got his video camera back, so all of a sudden his stats are back, too. He's got a 919 OPS. He's got 14 home runs. He's batting 309. He's been one of the straws that stirs the drink in that Red Sox lineup. He and Bogarts and Devers and Verdugo, the core four of that lineup. And as we talked about at the beginning of the program, that lineup might be the difference between you making the playoffs and missing the playoffs. Because as the pitching staff trends in the wrong direction here, and again, 19th in baseball right now in ERA, things are not going in the right direction for the Red Sox pitching staff. The lineup continues to carry them. And those four guys in the lineup in particular, Verdugo, Bogarts, Martinez, Devers, 2 through 5 in the lineup, they continue to carry this team. Even with the struggles of the pitching staff, they're 11-8 this month. They're 11-8 against some good competition, and maybe that shows you a pathway forward for the Red Sox to make the playoffs here, even if the pitching staff continues to go in the wrong direction. Jimmy, I don't know if we can, because my call screener's frozen up over here. Can we go to Curtis and West Boylston? We might be able to. We might not be. We'll see. Curtis and West Boylston, you're up next. Matt McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
Hey, Matt, you got me here?
I got you, my man.
All right. Sorry to bring the conversation back a little bit, but I'm actually all right with Duran sitting in the minors for a little bit longer. I want him up before the season's over. I think his speed's elite at any level, so I think that would be good to have him up there. Defensively, I'm not terribly worried, but, I mean, Franchi's killed the ball down in AAA. No one's saying that he needs to come up. I think those numbers are inflated. Like you said, he just changed his swing not that long ago, so more repetitions with that swing. He tends to, from my eyes, tends to bail out a lot looking for that pop to his pull side, but I think more reps is good for him.
No doubt, and thanks a lot for the call, Curtis. I appreciate it, Jimmy. If we can drop him there, that would be much appreciated. I don't know if this thing's going to work. Yes, it does. How about that? There's obviously a tremendous difference between Franchi Cordero and Jaron Duran. Franchi Cordero is a guy who's had good minor league stats, not good major league stats. He's a 4A player. That's who he is. When he, plays against good competition in the major leagues, you find out exactly who he is. Jaron Duran is a different case. You do have to consider the fact that Worcester is a launching pad, but at this point, he's proven just about everything he can prove in the minor leagues. Now you give him a taste of the big league level. If he can hack it, that's fine. If he can't, you send him back down to Worcester. He works on his craft there. But at this point, there's no reason for Jaron Duran not to be up with the Red Sox. He's shown you enough in Worcester. Bring him up. I know the splits are there. I know Worcester is a launching pad. But with Santana, Gonzalez, Hernandez, he's shown you enough. I don't know if the Red Sox want him to go to the Olympics. He played for Team USA in the Olympic qualifiers. It seems like they want him to go to the Olympics. That I'm not sure about. But at this point, I'd much rather have Jaron Duran playing for the Red Sox than the United States. If Jaron Duran is good enough for America, he should be good enough for the Boston Red Sox. So that is something certainly to consider here. Jimmy, real quick, why don't we do Leo and Quincy before we wrap up here on the Baseball Hour. What's up, Leo?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
So I just wanted to make an observation. I mean, considering having a above-average offense, a very strong offense, a very strong bullpen, and a mediocre starting pitching, if we can get to sort of the trade deadline, that's usually the one piece that you can get, I think, easier at the trade deadline is that sort of top guy, as opposed to going to find like a top bat or a top guy in the bullpen.
Yeah, and so Leo, we're up against it, so thanks for the call. I appreciate it. But the Red Sox are not going to be in pursuit of a top pitcher on the market in the trade, at the trade deadline. Heim Bloom has basically said as much. And you know what? That is the right call. This is, not a World Series caliber team. You're not going to give up the prospects that you would give up to get a Max Scherzer. But it doesn't mean that you can't improve this team on the edges, on the periphery. You can't go out and add a bench bat for little to nothing the way that the Red Sox did, say, with Steve Pierce in 2018 or Bobby Kilty in 2007. You can't do that. Of course you can do that without giving up too much in your farm system. Let's see if Heim Bloom is willing to trade, say, the 22nd guy in his farm system for a big league role player to help a team for a year. You can go out and trade for Addison Reed, guys like that, guys that Dave Dombrowski never shied away from trading for. Let's see if Heim Bloom has the same approach. Is he going to shy away from adding the big league role player at the trading deadline to try and win you one or two more games, which might be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs? We don't have that question answered. And that's going to be the most fascinating question with the Red Sox over this next month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, as we lead up to the trading deadline. All right, that just about does it for the baseball hour. Adam Jones was in with Felger and Maz today. Christian Arcan appears to be off, so that means that Tim McCone and Sean Silver are coming up. What's going on, McCone? How you doing? What are you guys doing tonight? You doing 5 hours of Jacob deGrom and Jaron Duran?
No, well, we are going to do Duran, because if I knew you were talking about the Woo Sox earlier, I would have come in an hour earlier.
Sure, yeah, we should have had you.
So we'll break down the Woo Sox for 5 hours. No, we have a lot to get to when it comes to, surprise, surprise, the Boston Celtics. And one important decision that was made over the last few days that I don't think is really getting nearly enough runs. So we'll get into that, too.
That's a major market tease there from Tim McCone. We'll get to that. 90 seconds, no commercials. Thanks to Jimmy Stewart. Thanks to Tyler Milliken. I'm Matt McCarthy in for Maz tonight. I'll be back with Maz on Friday. Actually, I don't think Maz is here on Friday. Anyways, I'll be back. So fair warning to you, Boston. Have a good night.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.